Welcome back to episode 23 of the Run It Three Ways podcast. This week, we've got somewhat of a racing extravaganza with both myself and Callum taking to the track to race. It's also a huge weekend of spectating at the now infamous Night of 10,000 PBs, which we'll be diving into in quite some detail. As always, we'll cover some juicy listener questions and the latest results from the running world. Before that, boys, how are we doing?
How are we doing, lads? Good to see you. Good to hear from you, rather.
Yeah, I was doing brilliantly. I've just had some Roundtree's fruit pastels, but then I log on to the call and see Callum's set his display name as Rest in Peace Tina Turner, and Tina Turner's just died.
Yep.
What sad news.
I know. Just announced on Channel 4 News as I was watching it moments before the call. So RIP Tina, and to all the fans out there that's going to hit hard. I'm with you.
Yeah, big Tina Turner fan, to be honest. 83 years old she was. She had a good innings, didn't she, to be fair?
Did indeed. What was your favourite Tina Turner song?
Oh, there's a question. Go on, Callum.
Mine's, what's love got to do with it?
Really?
Yeah.
I think for me, personally, it's got to be Simply the Best. As soon as you hear
Simply
that.
Simply the Best. Yeah, that is a banger.
Yeah, that is quite good. But do you know my problem with that song now is, I don't know if you've ever seen the James Corden skit that he does with the England team. I don't know if you anyway, this is from years back. It's for like, what do they call it? Comic relief or something like that. And they have that song on and it's all the England team dancing and him and Wayne Rooney do this bit. And now that's all like, I just, and it's before James Corden lost all the weight as well. So he's in these like tight little white shorts going, we're simply the best. It's pretty good.
Ruined it. Apparently she had a long-term illness and died aged 83.
Mm. Oh, well, there we go.
Well, this episode is dedicated to you, Tina. Rest in peace.
Sorry to kickstart the podcast on such a somber note.
Wonder what her 10K PB was.
Oh, I reckon she'd get under sub 40 in her day, you know?
Do you know what? When I've just got some pictures up of her in her youth, and my God, she was a specimen, wasn't she? I reckon she could have got around a 10K pretty quick, you know.
I don't know.
I've never seen Tina younger. Let's have a little look.
Yeah,
she's a good looking lady.
Anyway, listeners out there, send in your favourite Tina Turner memory. If you've ever met Tina Turner, selfie, concert, maybe like you had the song at your wedding. Anything like that, send in your favourite Tina Turner moment. And maybe we can make this a thing, you know, every time a legend passes away, we can reminisce on this running podcast that's got nothing to do with the Motown world, but there you go.
Yeah, tremendous. What a great way to start, eh?
I know. Well, it was been a big week anyway, outside of today's travesty. Last week was pretty packed because Ben, you had a race, I had a race, you guys were down at the Night of the 10Ks, which was, you know, that's basically taken over the internet for the last week. So I think this podcast is going to be a bit of a meaty one. So before we jump into the weeks, Tom, you've got a little you know, a little corporate feature that you want to bring that you want to bring into the podcast for this episode. So you get that done and dusted, and then we can jump into some running.
Perfect. Well, this is a little bit of a shameless plug, but as you well know, I work for Pro Direct Running, of which Ben is also very much affiliated with, and we are looking for a social media and digital content editor to join the team, basically to cut through the shit. If you bloody love running, if you think you're pretty knowledgeable about it, like you're into your running shoes, you're into like watching events like Night of the 10Ks and maybe watching Ben's videos on YouTube and that kind of thing, like if you consume a decent amount of running content, if you fancy, you know, managing the social media page for Pro Direct Running, then please, for the love of God, send me a message or drop a DM to the Run It Three Ways Instagram page if you're at all interested, because we are, we're crying out for some proper runner, basically, someone who really gets the sport, who's really invested in the trenches of the running community to, help us out with some content bits and bobs.
What's the specific skill set? Do they need any, like, to be able to use any certain programs or, like, anything they need to be able to do?
Yeah, do you know what? If you can write a sentence, that would be a great place to start, because in an ideal world, you'll be posting like all of the stuff that goes out on socials at the moment is me like writing it and scheduling it and all that kind of stuff. So in an ideal world, you'll be fairly proficient in copywriting, as in writing captions and that kind of thing. And not, you know, I don't expect someone to come on who's got all the knowledge in the world about every shoe under the sun. But I know there's people out there who are as nerdy as running shoes as people like myself and Ben. And I'm just trying to find one of them, basically, who would be, you know, who'd be up for doing some traveling. So like come into events like Night of the 10Ks, Hackney Half, you know, like the major marathons. Ben's just been out in Boston, for example, like stuff like that. There's so much opportunity for it. But really, as far as skills are concerned, if you feel like you can write semi-engaging content about running, you're into the sport and you don't need to be proficient in Photoshop or any of that kind of stuff. But if you have got an interest in video production, in photography, in any of that kind of stuff as well, then like I'll shake your hand and you can sign on the dotted line immediately, basically.
And is it a full-time position or part-time?
You're asking all the right questions here, Callum. This was not pre-prepared for all the listeners.
No, I just don't want people to apply if it's not right for them, you know, because I hate doing that stuff myself.
Yeah, so it is a full-time position. I would say it's a hybrid working opportunity. So the ProDirect offices are based in Devon. So in an ideal world, you'd be able to travel to Devon. For context, I go down maybe once a month, maybe a couple times a month, something like that, just to get a bit of face time with the rest of the team and all that kind of stuff. But in a dream world, you'd be based either in London or somewhere where you don't mind either driving or getting the train to the head offices in Devon once in a while. But yeah, if that sounds good to yourself, it's the position that I started on at ProDirect. It was my first job at ProDirect, basically. And it's honestly been bloody amazing. Like I look around at my flat and all the shoes that I've got from just being passionate about it and interested in it and willing to, you know, test them out and learn about them and write about them, that kind of thing. The opportunities are virtually limitless within the running community and the running industry with this sort of role. So yeah, if you're keen, get in touch and we'll have a chat.
Awesome. And like any good recruitment agency, we'll obviously be taking 20% of the annual salary as our cut. So ProDirect, big bosses, if you're listening, we'll invoice you. Just let us know your email address. Sweet.
Perfect.
Imagine, right, do you know what would be class though? Imagine if somebody from the pod, like a listener, actually gets this job and then becomes Tom's colleague just because they listen to this crap. That would be insane.
This is the thing, right? So
also, if you get hired, you can be the first guest on the podcast. And it'll be a live interview.
We could do the interview
via the podcast. Fantastic. To be perfectly honest, to be transparent, right? This position has been open for a while. We've been looking for someone to do the social stuff and basically take it off my hands for a long time. But it's quite a unique role in the sense that you sort of do need to be very invested in running, because you couldn't just get someone in who's maybe managed the social media pages for like a beauty page, but they've got no idea about running. They don't know who Kipchoge is. They've never heard of Boston Marathon. They don't know what a Vaporfly is. You can't get someone like that in, hand them the Instagram account and say, right, we've got this launch on this day, this launch on that day. We need this post here, that post there. Like it would be impossible. So I was racking my brain thinking, how can you like reach out to the right type of people? And the only people who could possibly be listening to this podcast are people who are pretty invested in the running community, right? And we get loads of comments and questions about specific shoes for this, that, and the other. Like we've got some very surprisingly knowledgeable listeners, right? Who write in with fantastic questions week in, week out. So one of those people must be good for this kind of job and be looking for a job in the running industry. So yeah, come on board. Let's have some fun, shall we?
I love that. I love how passionately you speak about your job, mate. That's actually genuine, not even taking piss. There's a lot of people out there that really, you know, have got a very an amazing career, but they just don't have that much passion for their job, or it's just a source of income or whatever. So, you know, I think I like the way that you speak about it, and I think people will recognize that it'd be a good team to work with, unless you're just a completely different bloke at work. Maybe you're a complete prick. I don't know.
Ben can attest to that. But no, it's like I say, it's definitely been, it's been an incredible couple of years. I've only been there 2 years and sort of had like a couple of promotions and whatnot along the way. So it's not as if you came in on this role, that's all there is. Right? There's so much room for growth, and you get to meet so many different people, like all the big dogs at the different brands, and find out exclusive information about product launches and all that sort of shit. So it's bloody good job, to be honest. It's a bloody fun job. But yeah, that's that.
Sweet. Well, thanks for that, Tom. That was good. Should we end the episode there and just move on?
Yeah, come back next week.
And we'll talk running.
So they just messaged you to get in touch, yeah?
Yeah. DM me, like, drop a message on the Run It Three Ways Instagram page if you're interested. I'm not precious about how you get in contact. Send a carrier pigeon, like, send me a fax, whatever. Reach out if you've got any questions, or if you know anyone who might be good for it. Because keen to get somebody in that role ASAP.
Yeah. Just tell your friends, if you're thinking of someone, a son, daughter, cousin, someone that you think that could be good for this role, then do it. Because the power that this podcast will have, if we somehow, in this 5-minute segment, manage to hire somebody for an actual role, our stocks are going to go up crazy with our pulling power. So let's make it happen.
The views have been going up recently. I had a little look at the stats before we started the episode, and last week was probably our most listened to podcast. So yeah, things are looking good on that front as well.
Unreal, unreal. Shout out to Philly Bowden for running a great marathon to enable us to get such good views. If anybody else could like help us out by doing something remarkable that we can talk about, that would be highly appreciated.
Definitely. Fantastic. Okay, right. Let's start with some running weeks then. Shall I go first this week?
Yeah, you go for it, mate.
So on Monday, I did 80 minutes of running. For some reason this week, I've started running to minutes, mainly because I was just getting bored of like looking at my watch, like ticking away when I was out on my run. So I thought, let's just change it up a little bit and try running to minutes. And I've done that for the last sort of week and a half and been quite enjoying it. Just go out and then have a little look at the watch and be like, oh, okay, we're half an hour in. We want to do 60 minutes today, and then make sure you try and head back towards the house for 60 minutes. And for easy running, I think that's been quite nice. It's allowed me to be quite natural with pacing and routes and all that sort of stuff. So yeah, maybe a little something you want to try. So I did 80 minutes on Monday morning, followed by a strength and conditioning in the evening. Then on to Tuesday, I had a bit of an interesting week, actually. I was planning to do a session on Tuesday morning, but previously, I don't know if you remember me talking about it last week, but I ended up doing some 200 meter reps with Luke down at Chelmsford in 27 seconds, which is just stupid now looking back on it. I'm never going to need to run that quick. It just buggered me for basically the entire another week. So it took 7 days to recover from basically lightly sprained hamstrings. So I got down to my usual area to do the session on Tuesday morning, started the first rep. I think I was doing 6x5 minutes at threshold. And I started the first rep, and I could just tell my body wasn't quite right. My right hamstring especially was really tight, and it was causing me a little bit of discomfort in my lower back. So I decided not to push through, and I just did 60 minutes of easy running instead. And I've got here written in the caption, I'll move my session to tomorrow. And then in the evening, got out for a second run of the day. I went out at 8:30 and ran along some of the local trails in my area. And it was amazing, really nice weather, just so nice at the moment to be able to get out in the lighter evenings. Even now when we're recording this podcast, it's 20 past eight and it's still light outside. Like, where I live is all pretty much country lanes, so in the summer it's great, in the winter it's pretty terrible.
How lovely is this time of year? I mean, it's the worst time of year to not be running. But
yeah, for sure. That's what I was thinking when I was saying that, actually.
But it's sensational, isn't it? It just makes you about 15-20% happier, I think, just automatically.
Yeah. I've just wanted to double, like, pretty much every day just to get out there, because, like, I've been working fairly hard recently in terms of, like, content and editing, and I end up sitting at my laptop for about, 7-8 hours of the day. And then I'll just get to the evening. I'm like, I've already done a run in the morning. I fancy another one in the evening, especially with the lighter evening. So yeah, that was a really nice run. Then on to Wednesday. So I was going to do the session if I woke up with an improvement in the hamstrings, but I got out for an easy run in the morning with the intention to do the session in the evening. And they were definitely a lot better, but decided that it's probably best to give it another day. So I just did another easy run, 14 kilometers at 4:35 with some strides at the end, just to see if that would help sort of loosen the hamstrings up. And it did throughout this.
Sorry, just on that run, just a big shout out to someone who commented, "Thanks, Ben. Thanks to your podcast, my carrots are now the most crunchy and tasty they've ever been." Hashtag oxidize your carrots. So shout out.
Yeah, because that was the day after we released last week's episode. So I gave a little plug on the podcast. Maybe that's why we got a few extra views this last week. You never know. I think it was mainly due to Philly Bowden's shout out. And Ellis Cross gave us a cheeky little plug as well, I think. So yeah, thanks to those guys. Then on to the evening, Wednesday evening. Again, just fancied another little run. And this one was actually from my girlfriend's brother's house. They live in a lovely little place called Stoke-by-Nayland, which is in the countryside, quite a hilly route. But it was, yeah, really nice just to take it easy out on the trails after doing some editing over at their house. Just thought I'd change it up a little bit. If you work from home quite a lot, like I do, you just get pretty bored in the same environment. So I've been mixing it up with coffee shops and other people's houses over the last few weeks. It's been quite good.
Other people's houses, anyone in particular, or just you just knocking on people's doors?
Yeah, just anyone who'll have me, really.
Yeah.
Yeah. And this week it was the turn of Meg's brother's house in Stoke-by-Nayland. So yeah, shout out to Jesse for looking after me. Right, on to what day was that? It's a bit weird with not having done sessions on my usual days. I get confused what days that was. So that was Thursday. On to Friday, I did 18 kilometers in the morning at 4:32. So this week ended up being like quite a lot of base building, just easy running, because I didn't want to do any damage to the hamstrings any more than was necessary. And on this run, I've got here saying my hamstrings are back to about 90% recovered. So that was a good sign. And then in the evening, I did a bit of a session, the first session of the week. So I went from doing six last week to just one or two this week. And this one was on the treadmill. Actually joined a new gym this week, so that was exciting.
What was the reason?
Just again to mix it up a little bit. This gym is more of like a spa. It's got like a sauna, a swimming pool, just better facilities, and they've also got some really good treadmills in there. These ones go to I think 22.5 kilometers an hour, which is crazy speed, like 240 per k pace. So if you want to run that fast on the treadmill, then you can do.
It looks lovely. It looks like a great place.
Yeah. What Ben's really trying to say here is he's going up in the world a little bit. He's got a little bit of extra cash in his back pocket from all of these YouTube videos that have been banging views and some brand deals. So he's got himself a lovely luxury gym.
Exactly.
That's what I'm hearing.
I'm treating myself.
As you should, Ben. As you bloody well
it
should.
It's bloody lovely as well. I'll tell you
what's
that.
What's it called? Give it a shout out. Go on.
I don't know if I want to give it a shout out, because then people might come and follow me there.
Yeah.
Okay, fair enough. Yeah.
Fuck them. They've not paid enough to get a shout out on this podcast.
No, but it's lovely.
That's a man that's making a bit of cash. No free shout outs anymore. God.
Yeah.
Ten episodes ago, anyone and his dog could get a shout out on this podcast.
Yeah, you got to no free brand deals these days, I'm afraid.
I know, right?
Cool. Times have changed for you, Ben.
Have indeed.
Yeah, that's a good. Looks like a good session though, Ben. Did you already say the session or not? It looks good.
No, not yet. So I did. This was a bit of more of a 3K focus session. So I did 10 minutes at threshold, just kind of an extension of the warm up. Then I did 4x3 minutes, and the 3 minute reps were at around my sort of 5K effort, a little bit slower than 5K pace. So I think I averaged 3:04 per kilometer for those. And then I did 6x1 minute. To finish at around 2:50 per K pace, which is a little bit faster than 3K pace. And this, it was a really, really good session. Something I'm going to do a lot more of, just to focus on that turnover. After the marathon, I feel like I'm really fit, but I don't have a lot of speed at the moment. Just, I think biomechanically, I just haven't done that in such a long period of time. I've kind of forgotten how to run fast and feel comfortable at like top speed. So Yeah, definitely something I'm going to be working on over the next few weeks, but not doing 27 second 200 meters anytime soon again.
Can I ask you one more question without trying to make this podcast like the longest episode in the world? When you do
Yes,
a
mate, yeah.
treadmill session, do you warm up in like your normal shoes and then do you change into like your super shoes or whatever you're going to wear just for the reps, or do you just wear the super shoes for the warm up and everything?
Yeah, so I usually wear my just everyday trainers for the warm up. And I actually did the first 10 minutes and the 3 minute intervals in the Cliftons. And then I just wanted to try these, the new shoes from On Running. They're called the Cloud Boom Echo 3s. And this was the ones that Tom managed to get hook me up with, but they came and they were half size too small. So I only did 6 minutes of running actually in these shoes just to double check that they were the wrong size. And then I got them exchanged at the weekend. So that was good.
Nice.
And they certainly feel pretty good.
I
Tom,
love
you've
how
got
you.
yourself a pair now, right?
Yeah, they're fantastic for walking around your flat in. I'll tell you that much. But I love how, regardless of the fact that they were too small, you still decided to give them a bash anyway. You just couldn't
I
resist, could you?
could not resist, mate. I've been waiting for probably over a year for these shoes
Yeah,
to
go on.
try these shoes on. And they did not disappoint. So, yeah, I'm glad I got my right size, though. Because they would definitely have given me some nasty blisters if I was going to try and race like a marathon, half marathon in them. So,
Yeah,
good decision.
do they fit a lot better half a size up for you?
Yeah, definitely. Much better. Well, they're
Yeah.
not, they're true to size in my usual size. They just sent
Yeah,
me the
true.
wrong
Yeah.
sizes. But yeah, good session. On to Friday, 30 minutes of recovery running in the morning and then 30 minutes in the evening. This one was with my teammate Joe, who's just come back from a broken foot that he got playing football about 2, 3 months ago. So it was the first time I've run with him in a long, long time. So that's really nice. Just 30 minutes, nice and easy. Then on to Saturday, which was my first track race of the season. I raced down in Colchester. It was a 3K race. I don't know if you guys have had a chance to see my latest YouTube video yet, but it features in there. And it was a cracking race with this lad from Windsor. He basically we're playing cat and mouse with each other basically throughout the race, very tactical. And he ended up getting the better of me in the sprint finish, but it made for some great content, so I'm not too disappointed. And I ended up running 8:50. So yeah, pretty good. About 7 seconds off my PB. To be honest with you, I was hoping to run a little bit quicker, but the tactical nature of the race was meant it was a little bit slower than maybe I'd anticipated. And according to Strava, obviously take this with a pinch of salt, we ran a 57 second last lap, but it was definitely a burn up. I reckon it was more like 58, 59. But yeah, we got moving in the especially in the last 200. He came round me in about 300 meters to go. I did the majority of the work in this race, I'd say. And he came past me at 300. I sort of sat on him and I had every intention in my head of going round him with like 100 meters to go and getting the win. But when I tried to kick past him, just my legs felt pretty heavy. And I just couldn't get around him. But never
No,
mind.
it was good. I watched it. My two main takeaways, well,
Yeah, go on then.
three main takeaways, because I've got to make sure I get a compliment in there. First one was your start was like so aggressive, not necessarily in a bad
Yeah.
way, but like the start of the race, you were just sprinting to get to the front,
Yeah.
which I enjoyed. I enjoyed the kind of
Oh,
the bit of pushing and shoving. I enjoyed.
yeah.
There was clearly like a very big mix of people in the race, of like people like you that were like, I know I have the ability to win this race, so I'm going to make sure that I'm at the front. And like people that were just like, yeah, I'm just here to get a few points, and like just literally like ambled off the start line. So that was good. The second thing is it looked like it was a good race. I don't know about, you know, the way you've edited it, it's hard to know like at what point, because some points he's leading, you're leading. Like it looked like it was an exciting race. I couldn't really work out like exactly what the splits were. But then
Yeah.
the sprint finish, right? So it's an amazing sprint finish, but then to say it's really close, like I don't know what the official time was, but it won't even be a second between you.
No, it's 0.3.
Yeah, so 0.3, you both, and this is Windsor Kid, if you're listening, this is on you as much as it's on Ben, right?
Windsor kid.
Right? Why, in such an aggressive sprint finish, do you both stop your watches like immediately on the line?
I
Like
know,
I'm
it's
looking at
fucking
it's like
terrible, isn't
you
it?
both of you could have cost the race just from trying to stop the watch. Like he weren't going to
Yeah.
get an official time anyway.
Well,
Unbelievable. Just for Strava.
I tell you what, they forgot to time the 1500 apparently, so I'm glad I did stop my watch, mate.
There you go. On Strava,
No.
it didn't happen.
You know what? Next 3K race, I'm not wearing a watch. Screw it. I did not need it one bit.
Mm. Do you know what would have got you to win, Ben?
What's that?
A few more 27 second 200s, I reckon.
I tried to muster one up at the end and it didn't happen for me. So
yeah.
Yeah, definitely need to do some more of that like VO2 max sort of work, like 3K pace over the next few weeks.
Or like next time with three laps to go, like throw your sunglasses off because then you'll weigh less. So you should.
Oh, yeah, that's a good point.
Yeah.
Or could you take them off and reach for the line with the sunglasses? Would that count?
I think it's your chest, mate. Last time I checked, yeah, your sunglasses weren't part of your chest. So I don't think that's going
to. That's annoying.
That's a good one. I could take them off and throw them ahead of him.
Yeah, or you could like spike him, like you could
tomahawk.
Stab him. Yeah,
yeah.
Anyway, good race.
Good start for the season. 8:50 for 3K. Hoping to take about 20 seconds off that over the next sort of few months. So we will. I'll report on that over the next few episodes, and then on to Sunday. I did a. Oh yeah, this was a bit of a. Horrific run. I'm going to get some stick from this.
Yes, you are. Before you even say it, you're going to get pulled up on this one, Ben. But go ahead.
I'm not going to pull you up on it, Ben. I've already given you my stance on Strava. I wanted to kick you off the podcast for it personally. But there you go.
There's so much context to this as well.
Yeah.
That people may not know about. So you explain what you did on Sunday, Ben, and then we'll dive into it.
So we're going to talk about the night of the 10,000. So I won't go into that. But after the race, on Saturday, I went straight to the night of the 10,000s, and we didn't end up leaving there until probably like 1 o'clock in the morning. So it was a pretty late night. And then the next day, I was going to go and cheer my sister on at the Hackney Half Marathon. So I also had a 2-hour long run in my plan, and there was just no way I was going to be able to fit that in after the Hackney Half. So I decided to get up at 5 o'clock in the morning, head down to the gym in the hotel. Lovely hotel that Tom had booked, courtesy of ProDirect.
You're welcome. Again.
Yeah, it was a top hotel, mate. Good stuff. Enjoyed that. And I got my money's worth. For I did 28.65 kilometres at 4:15 pace on the treadmill, and had the whole gym to myself, had my tunes blaring. Tried out the Echo Boom 3s again in my size, and they felt a lot better, just for some strides at the end. But what you got to say about that, Callum?
Good run, mate. Good run. I mean, some next time I think some more sleep would be decent. I mean, we talked about how nice it is to run in the daylight, so maybe the outdoors could be an option, but I get that London can be a bit difficult. But I mean, look, mate, I mean, you know, part of me wants to say, Ben, what amazing commitment. Like, you got your run in, you needed to do it. That's fantastic. But I don't think that's sustainable. So as it's a one-off, good on you. But I'm not really concerned too much about this. It's more what happens for the rest of the day that I've got an issue with.
No, nothing happened, mate. That's it. That's my week.
Oh, that's the end of your week, is it? Right. All right.
Yeah.
All right. Listen, so you had sore hammies, right, from your track session last week.
Yeah.
So you pushed the session in the week and basically did almost exclusively easy running, which is very good. That's very sensible, right?
Yeah.
Then you get to Saturday, you've got your first track race, you got a 3K. It's not, you know, like you say, it wasn't PB. You might not have absolutely wrecked yourself, but you got out very, very hard and you finished very, very hard. So it's still taxing. You were then on your feet all bloody day, more than all day. You were into the next day on your feet, running around, following people. Like, you're not eating what you normally would. You're not drinking as much water. Probably you're talking constantly. You're in the sun all day. Then we were in McDonald's at quarter to one.
Your wrist was probably hurting from all the signatures.
I've got a video of you ordering your McDonald's with your chipped painted fingernails at 12:45 a.m. right? And then
it was great fuel for a long run. That
I woke up the next morning to see your Instagram story of you running on a treadmill and thought, this guy is a lunatic. And the only reason I say it is because I've done very, very similar, like back before this old bloody injury happened, I was doing almost exactly the same. You'd be on your feet all day at a work thing. You'd go out for some dinner somewhere. You wouldn't get back until late. You'd have eaten like shit all day. And then the only way for me to get a run in would be to wake up at 5 and be out the door by 5:30, 5:45, and then back straight in the shower and then straight out again. And like Callum said, I think it's a tale of two halves, right? You can say that's amazing commitment, Ben. Well done, because it is. right? Mm. To do that off that amount of sleep is impressive, but I also don't think it's a sustainable or particularly good behavior to glamorize or promote to anybody who's listening. You don't have to do what Ben did. You could have gone for like a nice little 10 miler. You could have done an hour easy, even on the treadmill, or something like that, couldn't you? And woken up a bit later, had a little bit less taxing on the body. And then, right, at Hackney, you're sprinting all over the gaff, you're following people with your camera, and you're tracking it all on your watch. May I also add, Ben was wearing the On Calabrium Echo 3.0, a shoe which isn't even really out yet, unless you manage to buy it at some of these pre-launch sell things. And you're sprinting after people, and you're tracking that on Strava. Now, that little three-minute rant that I've just gone on is, you don't need to explain it. I think it's important to take note of it, I think, and not make it a habit, or you might end up in a spot of bother, I reckon.
Yeah, I do agree with you. Like I said, I haven't done that in a long, long time in terms of getting up early and having to get my run in with about 4 hours sleep that night. So not ideal. But then again, some people have to get up at 5 o'clock every morning to get their run in. So I certainly didn't see it an issue, just as a one-off.
They don't go to bed at 1 a.m, lad.
Yeah, I know.
You know what I mean? They're not not kissing the missus on the forehead at 1 a.m. saying, oh, I'm up in 4 hours, love, I've got an 18-miler.
Yeah. Well, look, on this occasion, I got away with that. Right, but right. I appreciate your concern.
Sorry, we can't make this just like the Ben is running roast video. But can I just ask, so you did your 17-miler and then you watched Hackney Half, and then what did you do in the evening? Just really quick.
Just did a cheeky little 45-minute run.
All right, just another 6.5 miles.
You doubled.
Yeah, yeah, he doubled.
Oh, my God.
He doubled. So we did 23.
I didn't know that.
He did 24 miles plus the running around at Hackney Half. So call it 26 miles.
Oh, my God. Yeah. Off the back of a 3K race and being on your feet all day and being in.
Exactly. Well, I'd tape it into the race.
Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ.
Feeling fresh.
Oh God! Okay.
you are actually losing it a bit, you know. Like
you are a lunatic.
I am an absolute
lunatic. Because when you listen, the other thing, I don't know if you're one of the thousands of people who went, "Oh Ben is running." When you went past that Hackney Half, you might have seen him sprinting about. But this boy is not. He's not just doing like a little casual couple of steps down the road to maybe get a couple of pictures of someone. If he sees someone he knows, he disappears. He goes like a whippet, right? Chasing these people down the road, filming them the whole way, chatting with them. Go on, son, you can do it. Keep going. Like he's running like a fair whack with them, and then he'll come back a couple of minutes later. He's like, oh, Ben's returned, and then he goes again. So it's, you know, I don't know how you do it. I respect
it's all part
it.
Of the game.
Yeah, but it's that's the other thing I wanted to mention. The amount of people when we were at Hackney Half at mile one, the race has just got started, right? The amount of people who were shouting Ben. It was ludicrous.
Yeah, I've not experienced that before. It was pretty crazy.
No, it was stupid. I would say it was more people, obviously not, but it felt like it was genuinely more people than not who were like, Ben, oh, hello, Ben.
Yeah,
Ben,
I think it's because we were watching it at a point where there was basically no crowd support at all. So me standing at the road absolutely shouting at people, everyone was having a look and being like, oh, I know that guy from YouTube.
Yeah. Anyway.
So, Ben is running. Yeah. Ben is tearing his hamstrings.
Ben is on his way to a stressy.
Yeah. No, exactly. Seriously though, Ben. I know we're only joking, and it's part of this podcast that we do critique your training. But yeah. I'm glad that you didn't do many sessions. You did a good race. Yeah, the long run was a bit excessive, but in general, you know, I think you did the right thing in the week by taking it a bit easy. It could have been a lot worse. So
yeah.
Credit.
Yeah, I got a lot of miles in, but I only did maybe 10 of those miles at any intensity. So
yeah, your session average is over the last 2 weeks is 3, so that's good, because you're exactly six and zero. So
6 and 1 this week.
6 and 1 actually.
Yeah. That's prime training, actually. I reckon next week you go for another 6 and just alternate.
Yeah.
Mm.
A little mesocycle, something like that, you know.
Class. Right. Anything else, Ben, from your week? Or
I don't think so, mate. I'd like to move on.
Right. Are we doing Tom or me next?
Go on, Callum.
Right, I'll fire through my week here because this isn't a big boy. Right, cool. Monday the 15th is when this started. So I did 7.4 miles at 6:55 in the morning. Just nice, normal, easy run. And then in the evening, I did 3.35 miles at 7:11. 7:11? Like it's a store. At 7 minutes, 11 seconds per mile. So that's about a 10.5 mile day. Just, yeah, standard, normal Monday. Tuesday, I had a session at the track. Kind of a bit of a... I don't know if I'd call it a tune-up, but basically just a bit of a maintenance kind of session in the lead-up to my race. When I've got a race and I do a session on a Tuesday, it's mainly about getting some work in that's going to benefit me without getting too much fatigue. So this was 6x1K in 256 to 253 with 200 meters jogging between, and then 2x400 at the end, which were 56 high, 57 low, and had 2 minutes in between them. So basically just like a solid block of work like that's kind of continuous for 6-7k, and then a couple of 400s a bit quicker than race pace just to get the legs spinning a little, which yeah was good. The only kind of downside as such, which I'll come on to a bit later in the week, is the 56 and 57 400s felt great and I felt so strong and fine, but the impact from the spikes kind of has fled up my glute a little bit. I had a bit of a, not a niggle, but just a bit of something there, a bit of tightness, and that's kind of erupted a little thing. So yeah, if I could go back and do it again, I wouldn't have worn my spikes for it. I would have done them a bit slower, but hey ho, I didn't. Hindsight's 2020. So that was Tuesday. Wednesday, I did 6 miles in the morning, 6.32 miles at 7:04s. Because of how my kind of glutes were feeling and a bit fatigued, I've basically started to try and run on the grass for as much as possible. Luckily, I have some pretty big fields about a mile and a half away from the house. So just ran out there, did some loops, about 45 minutes.
And do you, then, quickly, Callum, do you find that loads running on
yeah,
grass?
Loads. Yeah,
really?
Okay, it's annoying because like I know not everyone has really good access, and also it can be, unless you have a really big open space, it can be a bit annoying. So like this is about a 2.5 kilometer loop around a couple of fields. So that's quite a nice size, really. Even if you do kind of two laps, you've got 3 miles banked. So it's pretty good. But yeah, it can be frustrating. And if the weather's bad, obviously, then I try and avoid it as much as I can. But I do find that the impact kind of on my shins and just how I find that I recover is pretty good. And it's quite nice for like pace regulation, because if you're running, I think psychologically, if you're running on the grass, you presume you're going to be slower than the concrete. So you don't even worry about the pace. So you truly run to feel rather than thinking, oh, I normally 7 minute mile down this street, so I better be 7 minute miling, you know, that kind of thing.
Do you not worry about, I don't like running on grass, mainly just because of it feels unstable underfoot. Like it's a little bit more wobbly. You can't really see. There might be a little rabbit hole, or there might be like a lumpy bit.
I do get that. Yeah. Luckily, again, like where I live in Cambridge, everywhere's pretty well looked after in terms of like the maintenance from the council and stuff. So these fields in particular, they have a park run there that's pretty like well looked after, and they normally have cones already out over any major holes or anything like that that they just keep there. And now kind of spring's here and the grass has got a lot longer, they've cut a path, so you almost feel like you're on a course in a way. It's kind of weird, it feels like a cross-country course. I don't mind it too much. But yeah, I find it makes a bit of a difference. Yeah, in the evening, I've not actually recorded this, but I did a couple of miles in the evening. Not in the evening, in the afternoon, because I went down to Paddington Track in London to do a bit of filming with Carmichael, and did a little bit of not a session, but just a bit of jogging, warm-ups, that kind of thing. So yeah, I added a couple of miles, hence why this one was a bit shorter than my usual Wednesdays. So yeah, Thursday, went on the grass again, did 7.15 miles in the morning, which was fine, and then doubled in the afternoon and did 3.14 miles. Yeah, the morning felt fine. The afternoon is where maybe the slightly slower pace as well, where you're putting kind of more force through your legs and your stride is not as big. I started to notice my glute a little bit more and felt a little bit iffy. Kind of an ache, definitely not an injury. It gets better as I run and I warm it up. It's just, yeah, when I accelerate and decelerate, there's like a bit of a niggle. It takes time to get going. It's very hard to describe, and when I've been at the physio, I was even there today, like getting to the bottom of it is a bit difficult, but it's not too serious, luckily enough. So that brings us to Friday. I flew to Germany with Charlie because I had a race on the Saturday. So once we got there and we're finally in this random place, Karlsruhe, just did a shakeout. So 3.77 miles at 7:13s. And that included a few strides as well. Just did kind of 4x10-second strides to open up a bit. Nothing too intense at all. So, yeah, that was nice. Good to have some company with having Charlie there. Normally I'm by myself for that sort of thing. So race day, Saturday, I did a shakeout in the morning, 1.76 miles. This was at 11 a.m., so after breakfast and everything like that, not too early. Just 12 minutes around the park, kind of loosen off a little bit because I wasn't running until my race was 8:20 p.m. later that day. So I still had kind of 9 hours after this to sit around and do nothing. And then, yeah, the race itself. So this event was... like a continental tour event, which they're ranked kind of like challenger, bronze, silver, gold, stuff like that. I think this was a bronze event, but it was fantastically organized. It was like, I joked saying it was like a German night of the 10Ks, but, you know, not for 10Ks, because they had kind of the tunnel with loads of, you know, people cheering and music and stuff like that. They had lights. They'd put on a pretty good event, actually. It was a really nice atmosphere. Yeah, I raced a 1500. I was in the 1500 B race, which was paced for 57.5, which is, I think, 224 through the K, which I felt was a bit tasty. Kind of the limit I'd put on myself was 58 flat was like the ultimate limit, because if you run 58 flat, then you run a 338.5. And I think that's kind of, you know, I'd be very brave to go off much faster than that in my first race, considering how I was feeling with kind of the sickness that I had a couple of weeks ago and the bit of a glute niggle and stuff. So, yeah, the race got really detached straight away, and I was kind of in a second group. Went through 58 for the first lap, so feeling good. And then the next 800, I just kind of, I didn't switch off from the race, but I probably just wasn't aggressive enough with it and just presumed that even though it was feeling hard, if I just sit in and kind of ride the wave with the people that are around me, then I'm not going to be in an awful position, and then I can just trust myself to have a really good last lap and kind of bail myself out of the shit a little bit. But what happened was we left ourselves too much to do. So without going into the specifics of all these numbers for people that don't really care, essentially, if I go through the bell lap, so I've got 400 left, if I can see that the number that I require for my time, so let's say I want to get 3:39 as the time, if I can do the maths in my head and I need to run, say, a 57 seconds, then I'm like, okay, this is possible. Like, I can do it. If it's a 56, 55, whatever that I need to run, I'm like, oh, shit, this is going to be really hard. And if it's anything slower than 57, so say it's a 60, I'm like, right, I know, like, you know, I can close in a 60 second with my eyes closed. Like, that's not a problem. That's just what I do, kind of thing. And when I came through, I needed, I think, but somewhere between 56 and 57, basically had to run pretty fast. And it was on the edge of like, this is possible, but it's going to take absolutely everything. It's going to be really hard. And yeah, in that kind of between, you know, in that first 200 of the last lap, I just didn't get going enough. And I left myself too much to do for the final 200. So I was really flying, to be honest, in the finish. And I picked off quite a lot of people to finish in fifth, but I just left myself a little bit too much to dip under the 340 barrier. So around 340.6. My second fastest I've ever run for 1500, and the mile equivalent is faster than I ran at Penn Relays a couple of weeks ago. So still a great result, and yeah, good to, you know, do a race abroad, learn from it, have all the travel and the different things like that. And I really enjoyed, I didn't enjoy the race, to be honest, but I enjoyed like the environment, being there, being around really good athletes. I paced the 5K afterwards, just did a mile of that pacing, which was a really good experience because you basically feel like you're winning the race, but you don't you don't have to finish, which is great. So yeah, that was, I know, a bit of a whistle stop tour there, but I know a lot of the listeners are not dialed into 1500 and short distances and stuff like that, so I don't want to go too detailed.
No, but I think it's good. Like I say, we've said it time and time again about you and the insights that you offer. You're saying stuff that neither of us have got any, you know, experience or insight in. So I think it's super valuable, to be honest. Like, maybe not super duper nitty gritty information, but that was a perfect level, I think. Great run for yourself, wasn't it, really, all things considered?
Yeah, all things considered, it was great. And yeah, without doing a shameless self-plug, I've put up a YouTube, or I say me, like I've pressed the button, but Charlie's created an amazing video of like what the experience was like. And that's what I'm trying to do, is provide an insight for what it's like as someone who isn't a top athlete that has an agent that can just get you into anything you want. You turn up in your brand new Adidas kit and you just race and you're always good. Someone who's in the gap of like, this was really hard race to get into. I had to negotiate by pacing and waiving a fee for this, doing that. What it's like to then go and race. And then also kind of some insights afterwards to be like, you never really hear from people unless they smash it out of the park. And anyone can, you know, make a good video when you smash it out of the park, because you're like, well, I ran this and this is amazing and blah, blah, blah. So to kind of not smash it, but also not do really shit, is almost like the worst situation you can be in terms of the content you're creating or the way to explain it. Because it's like, well, I did really well, but I didn't do as well as I wanted to, you know, which is like a, I guess, a situation that most people find themselves in with a lot of races, to be honest. But yeah, it was a great weekend. It was a really late night, though. The races went on until, I mean, I did my final cool down here at what, at 10:37 p.m. And they were still racing until, I think the last race started at 10:55.
Wow.
They were going crazy with all different events. So by the time we got the shuttle back to the hotel and realized everywhere in this place Karlsruhe was closed for food, it was, you know, a bit of a hassle to go out and get some dinner, do whatever. But they laid on a pretty, I don't know if good is the right word, but they had a after party type social event, which was in classic European style, just EDM music and sweaty Dutch boys jumping up and down in the air and like crowd surfing to Avicii levels and stuff like that.
Did you make any friends, any other athletes that you met out there?
Yeah, I mean, there was a fair few people out there. There was quite a few Brits out there: Tom Mortimer, Megan Keith, Ellie Wallace, Ben McMillan, Scottish guy, and his girlfriend were out there. So there's a fair few people, and then some people that I've just met from other races, like Dara, and a girl that I raced with when I was in America and stuff like that. So it's always good to catch up with people in these kind of racing situations. And when you're there, like, the thing that I've taken the most over the last year is realizing you're there to do like a job and race. And I think I cope best by treating it like it is a job, like it's, even though it's not my job, I treat it as like, oh, I'm leaving this weekend, I'm getting on a flight, and I'm going there to like successfully run this race. Like, that's the primary aim. But then afterwards, being able to relax and be like, actually, how cool is this? Like, I never see any of you lot apart from when we all get together to do these races in really random towns in Europe or in England or wherever it is. I always do afterwards. I realize it's a privilege, and I'm always like, you know what, how cool was that? Like, yeah, I didn't get a PB I want, but like, who else has a hobby where they just go to a random place in Germany, the costs are covered for them there or thereabouts, and you just run? Like, that's pretty cool, you know. Like, I can't think of many hobbies that are that exciting, to be honest. So yeah, that was good. The downside was I woke up in the morning and I was absolutely battered. My body just felt like I described earlier, where the spikes had caused a bit of trauma to my glute. Well, obviously I'd done an all-out race, the second fastest my body's ever moved in its 24 years, and then I'd paced, so my leg was just battered. So we were going to do about 10 miles, but I just said to Charlie, look, well, I'm going to have to call this. Let's just do a little out and back, 5 miles. I can't really push on and do too much more. There's no point. The gain I'm going to get from the long run is not worth it. I was hobbling along, to be honest. So just called it a day and just did 5 miles. So that was the end of my week. 56.1 miles. A good race, a step forward from the last race, only marginally, but still a step forward. And I'm, not to do a spoiler for the next episode, but I did a bit of cross training. I've been trying to look after my glute, and it's in a semi decent place, so I should be in for a decent race this weekend as of recording, but I'll have to wait and see.
Lovely stuff. And what about the accommodation? I saw some wacky pictures that you put up.
Oh, mate. So this hotel, right? I don't know if anyone...
You stayed in like a little gnome cabin or something.
Do you know the weirdest thing about this? So we've been put in the athlete hotel. Oh, yeah, great. Athlete hotel. Yeah, all right. I've got a videographer coming. Can he be in the same room? Yeah, perfect. Boom. Right. German Simon sorted me out, the race director.
German Simon.
Turn up to this place. Get the, they're running like a shuttle, like a minibus, bring the athletes. Great. She said... Oh, was it a guy or a woman? I can't remember. Oh, here's 2 room keys. So you're just going down here. You're going to see a building. She said, you're going to see a building that looks like a face. Go inside there, and then you're just on the second floor. So I thought it would be like a normal building that maybe slightly resembles a face, whereas actually it is a statue of like a face, right? Go into the room. Then it's an igloo. So like the room is like a dome. The walls and the ceiling have like an ice block pattern. But then the lower levels of the wall have fish. So I don't think, like, I'm not being an idiot, am I? Like, you don't get fish in an igloo. Like, that's nonsensical. So even make it an ocean. I don't get why they didn't just stick with the Under the Sea theme, to be honest. So anyway, we're in this room that is like so odd. And I'm thinking, oh, well, this is just an odd hotel. It's probably reasonably priced and it probably had loads of space for the athletes. It's near the track. Didn't think anything of it until after my race, when I got back, I was with Ben McMillan, the Scottish runner of the summer race. I said, oh, Ben, I said, what do you think of your hotel room? Kind of like imagining he's going to be on the same lines as me. He's like, yeah, like fine. Like just normal hotel room. And I'm like, oh, show me a picture of your room. And he had a picture on his phone of like what his hotel room looked like. And it was a completely normal hotel room, just twin beds, like standard kettle, like Premier Inn vibes. So I don't know why I was in this, like, you know, everyone else seemed to have a normal hotel room and I'm inside this, I don't know, it looked like a children's play area. Genuinely, that's the only way I can describe it, like a children's play area or a primary school or something like that. It was odd.
It almost looked like an artist experience, like you were staying in somebody's studio for the night or something like that.
Yeah, definitely. It was a weird place, but anyway. I never would have stayed there, like, optionally. So, you know, good to spice up your life and do something different.
Are they fans? I've just got the video up now. Are they fans the windows?
So there was no curtains. There was no curtains or blinds. There was two holes in the wall, right, with then, like a plasticky type, like, mesh so to keep bugs out and things like that. But it's essentially an open hole in the wall. You don't have an option to close the window. And then there's no curtain. It's just two big fans. Like what you would get in, I don't know, like Hawaii or like wherever they have Fat Japan or something like that. And they were just drilled into the wall or screwdriver like into the wall. So you couldn't take them down or anything. So as soon as the sun came up, that was it. I was wide awake.
Interesting place.
Yeah. But anyway, I know that was excessive detail, but trust me, if you see the video of this hotel room, you'll be surprised. It was one of a kind.
Lovely stuff. Right, Tomo, do you want to talk us through your week and what you got up to?
Yeah, let's do that. It won't take long. And then we can ease into the old Night of the 10,000 Meters recap.
That sounds
seamlessly
good.
Can't we? So I haven't done much, really, to be honest. I'm still plugging away with my body weight exercises. I should be in the gym properly next week, which will be nice. Give me a bit of routine, which I think is what I'm craving the most at this point. Just that sense of going somewhere to do something, because doing squats and all that stuff like in your living room is all well and good, but it's not the same, I don't think, as making like a very deliberate trip to a facility like a gym to do a set of exercises for a predetermined rep range, getting it done and then going home again. Like, I think there's something ritualistic about that you can't get from just doing bodyweight exercises whenever you've got a free half an hour, you know? So I'm looking forward to that. I'm looking forward to getting back on the horse in that sense. And to be honest, this week, I've just felt a little bit different about the whole situation. I've started to feel a little bit of fire coming back in the belly, which is nice because I've been very numb, to be honest, from a running standpoint anyway, for the last, basically from when I spoke to Rose for the first time and she was like, yeah, you're looking at 4 to 6 months until you're running again. I was like, right, well, okay, fine. I might as well forget about running, like, you know, get myself kind of like protect myself, I suppose, by staying out of the loop, not consuming much running content, so on and so forth. But now I've had zero awareness of any kind of discomfort, pain, weakness for the last 2 going on 3 weeks, and it just feels like, it feels good, it feels positive, it feels like there's light at the end of the tunnel. So I think I've just been allowing myself to look forward a little bit and realize that running isn't that far away now. Like, it feels attainable. Like, mm-hmm. I can almost sense it. So yeah, that's nice. It's nice.
Are you still in pain, like on a daily basis? Like, I know when you initially had the stress fracture, it was difficult, like getting around the flat. Can you still feel it now, or
not
is it
at all? Not at all. Which is, I was saying this. Bless them. Like, so many people asked about the injury at Night of the 10Ks, which I really, really appreciated. But I realized by about the 10th person that asked, I had the answer nailed. It was like a perfect script of exactly where I'm at, what I'm doing, what the next steps are. But
go on. Give me the rehearsed one.
What I've been saying is, I think this is the most important part. This is the most critical part of the recovery, because when I was feeling a lot of pain, when I couldn't take a step without grimacing and gritting my teeth, and I was in quite an alarming amount of discomfort for an extended period of time, like 3 weeks, 4 weeks, I couldn't walk at all, really. That's easy. You know you can't run, so it's totally off the table. And mentally, it's quite manageable. Whereas now, having not felt any pain for a good 2-3 weeks, knowing that I'm allowed to do a bit of cross training and stuff, it's really bloody hard not to just be like, well, I can go for a run because I'm in no pain. I feel like I could go out the door and go for a run now and I'd be all right. But it's the most important time to be patient. And that's what I've been struggling with a little bit. Like, I'm especially,
that must
night
be the hardest
days.
Point of it as well. Your body is almost saying, like, we're nearly recovered.
Yeah.
It's lovely weather outside. You see all these people running, getting after it, and you want to get involved again. So, yeah, it must be quite tough at the moment.
Yeah, especially when you're at events like Night of the 10Ks, right? I can feel it. Like, I'm so desperate to just bloody run. It's good and bad. Like, I feel like I'm in a pretty good spot with it. I feel like things have progressed nicely. And I feel like running is back on the horizon again. Whereas before, to be perfectly honest, I didn't really care at one point. Like, I knew that it was so long until I was going to run again that I didn't really care about running. I wasn't that interested in it. I wasn't, there was a Diamond League on, like the Doha Diamond League, for example. Couldn't give a bollocks. Like, didn't really know it was on until you mentioned it in your Instagram story, I think, Ben. Like, oh, Diamond League's happening. But there was no urgency to be like, oh, shit, let me find a stream. Let me watch it. It was like, oh, that must be nice. And then I moved on with my life. So I just wasn't, I think you've got to do that to a certain extent when you've got like a long-term injury. You can't be tormenting yourself, like watching other people run and seeing what everyone's up to on Strava and all that kind of stuff. But now I feel like I'm just getting back in touch with it. I'm just starting to feel a little bit more invigorated by it all. So it's a nice spot to be in. That aside, I was down in Devon for a couple of days, Tuesday and Wednesday, just to film some bits for ProDirect. Fantastic place to work. Highly encourage anybody to apply for that social media job role. And then I got home quite late on the Wednesday evening. And then on Thursday, I was off to London. So I stayed at the lovely Samantha's house on the Thursday night. And then on Friday, we were filming for Night of the 10Ks, the main piece of content that we were creating was a short documentary for On, featuring Amy Eloise Markovic. So that was the main focus of Night of the 10Ks for us. We were following her around on the night, but on the Friday, we shot some interview bits with her. And she's lovely, by the way, but it was actually, it's quite funny. So we're meant to be shooting this interview with her. She had done a shakeout run in the morning before she traveled up to London, and then she was staying in the Premier Inn, which I think a lot of athletes were staying at. But we had to try and shoot a fairly sexy looking interview, not sexy as in, like, you know what I mean, like, it had to look quite cinematic and stuff for On to be happy with it.
That's not the one you sent us a link to.
Trust me, I'll get on to that. And then when we got into this room, like, Ed, one of the video guys, got there before me and Lewis did and sent us a picture and was like, boys, we might be in a spot of bother here, because it wasn't a nice Premier Inn. Let's just put it that way. It was one of those where you've got the wall stuck out in a proper random place, and it was a tiny, tiny space to actually walk around in. It was quite an old one. It needed a bit of love. Like, it was dark. The window didn't open. So it was, we were struggling a little bit. So we had about an hour until Amy was going to knock on the door ready for our interview. So we were running up and down the high street, like archway high street, trying to find anything, like plants, like lamps, just anything to dress this room up a little bit to make it look semi-presentable. And I think we did an all right job. We managed to blag some plants in a charity shop that weren't for sale, but she sold them to us for about 35 quid. So fair play to her. Some just dying plants, right? They looked like they hadn't been watered for weeks, but she was like, oh yeah, you can have them, £25. And at that point, we're like, yeah, fine. Bought a lamp, which I've now got on my mantelpiece. It's a very nice addition. We got
that's the job.
Yeah, to stick that in the background. Yeah, another perk of this absolutely fantastic career path for anybody who's interested. And then Amy knocked on the door. And it's this, I can't get across how tiny this room was, especially when you've got two cameras. You've got these big cameras, big lenses, two tripods, and then two different lighting setups as well. So big light stands either side. There was the tiniest little space for her to sit. It was very, very bloody hot in this room as well once you got the lights on, because as I mentioned, the window didn't open. So it was a little bit, you never know how these things are going to go. But she was a great sport, to be fair. Like she took it, yeah, she took it in her stride. She speaks very, very well, Amy. And she's got, yeah, she's got a fantastic background. Obviously, excellent pedigree being an Olympian and all the rest of it. And yeah, just had a really nice little chat with her. And then big Lewis Collins, who you know quite well now, Ben.
I do indeed, yeah, my bodyguard.
Yeah, we had this idea. Well, he kind of had this idea to start the documentary of her like lying on the bed, listening to music, like pre-race kind of vibes. And then she'd close her eyes and it goes into a flashback from the race, or her like visualizing the race, whatever. And it, I've seen a little preview of it. It looks sexy, but that required us to say to Amy, now, would you mind like just lying down on this bed, three blokes in the room, cameras everywhere, Lewis Collins, who's 6'6", by the way. would you mind, Lewis, like just kind of sort of straddling you a little bit to film you pretending to listen to music? And at first she was a little bit taken aback, but to be fair, like she did a cracking job, and I think it's going to come out quite nicely.
Do you know what she pretended to listen to?
I don't know what she pretended to listen to, unfortunately. I should have bloody
asked. I reckon it was the Run It Three Ways podcast, mate.
I reckon it was. Yeah. Nah,
probably she had a couple of episodes
Tina
to catch
Turner.
Up on.
Probably Tina Turner. Yeah, yeah.
Tina Turner. But yeah, that was Friday. So I think it went really well. And to be honest, it's so refreshing to meet athletes in that kind of setting where, you know, it's a very uncomfortable environment to walk into, right? Three blokes and loads of cameras in a sweaty Premier Inn room. Like, that's not the idea of heaven. For someone like her, I'm sure. But I think we pulled it off, and that should be out quite soon on the YouTubes. So yeah, that
Look
was Friday.
That.
And then Saturday, we got to Night of the 10Ks quite early. We were there from about 2 o'clock, and just had a bloody good day, a very tiring day. But that was pretty much my week, to be honest. Went to Hackney Half the next day as well. But yeah, that's quite a nice segue into Night of the 10Ks, isn't it? So we might as well do our little segment on that, don't you think?
Yeah, definitely. Should we start talking about the elite races? Maybe some results from those races?
Yeah, go on. Let's do results, get that out of the way, and then we can talk about anything else that went down, like atmosphere and all that sort of stuff.
I'll tell you what, shall I fire through the results, boys? Because I wasn't actually at the event, so then I can shut up and actually hear what happened from you guys.
Yeah, go for it,
Tom.
Sweet. So, the overall winners obviously had Adane, I think we're saying it as, in the female race. She actually was probably the standout performer from the whole day. So she ran 29.58, which is the 11th fastest 10,000 of all time, which is bonkers. And we like to talk about barriers in athletics. There's only been 12 women all time that have run under 30 minutes. So in terms of the credentials that gives Night of the 10Ks, you know, it's pretty bonkers, to be honest. So yeah, she lapped everyone in the field, I'm pretty sure, just about. And smashed it out of the park. So congrats to her. I'm sure she's a listener.
Fastest ever 10,000 metres in the UK as well, on British soil.
British soil record, there you go.
All comers record, yeah.
There you go. And on the men's side, it was the main man, Paul Chelimo, the man who I infamously said on the last episode is in terrible shape. Ran he ran, and I'm the first to hold my hands up and say, well, you know, I made an informed decision at the time, but I was wrong. He ran 27.12 for the win, wearing his full Kiprun/Decathlon kit. And what I really liked at the end of his, and I don't know if you guys, because there's a million things going on, might have not seen it in person, but you can see it really well on the stream, is obviously all the athletes run with the little timing chip on the shoe. So normally you die at the end, you're on the floor, and then either you or a volunteer takes off your timing chip. Well, Paul Chelimo, Mr. Kiprun, just took off his spikes and just put them in the bucket. Just the whole spike, not just the timing kit. He just put his whole spikes, just took his shoes off. The woman tried to take the little timing chip off, and he just said, "Hey, I have him," and just chucked him in the bucket. Which
I've got 10 pairs. I don't need them ones.
I love that. So they were the overall winners. Obviously, this included the British 10,000 meter championship. So Jess Warner Judd won on the women's side. She always seems to find a way to win. She's a brilliant racer. And I think they ran about 31:10 ish. So a fair way outside the qualifying time of 30:40. But, you know, I'm guessing a few of them were just racing to win, racing the conditions, whatever it might be. And on the men's side, Andy Butchart took the win in 27:46 or 47, I believe. So yeah, again, a little bit off his PB, but a fantastic run from him. And there's a great video going around of him kind of drinking a beer as he crosses the line and throwing it up in the air, which, surprisingly, knowing British athletics, I thought would have got you disqualified. But, you know, he didn't, which is a good thing, obviously. I'm not trying to get him disqualified. They were the British winners from that. And a few notable mentions just before I hand over to you boys, just from me, is one, I thought Zach Mohammed was the other standout performance from the whole day. He got the silver overall, but he's still only... I think he's under 23 for cross country, but I don't know if he is for track, actually. But he ran 27:56, so sub 28 at his young age, and he's not really known for, you know, doing too well on the track. I thought that was an amazing performance. And then also shout out to Jack Gray, who is a club mate of mine who ran a big PB, 28:27, and has just got himself a GB vest for the 10,000 meter cup as a result.
Good stuff. So yeah, really good to hear.
A million and other things, I'm sure, but I just thought I'd go through the results because sadly I was in Germany, so I didn't actually get to find out what all the buzz was about. So over to you boys, tell me about it.
Yeah, you missed a good night. It was pretty special. That was actually the first time I'd been down to the night of the 10,000. So I'd seen it sort of on social medias over the last few years, but I think this year was probably amplified a little bit more. I don't know, Tom, have you been there before? Or was that your first one?
I was there last year, and it's all I kept thinking when I was there this time is that how busy it was and how early it still was. Like, you're walking around at 3 o'clock in the afternoon and it was packed. Like, at one point I remember talking to Big Andy Hobdall, and we were like, what happens if too many people try and get in? Because it was getting to the point where it was like...
It's got to be at capacity soon.
Yeah, you're going to hit capacity.
I reckon you filter people out based off 10k PB. So just
imagine that. You have to have a qualifying time to get into the crowd.
Yeah, get rid of the kids.
Yeah.
Listen, it was special. Like, there's, you know, could talk about it for hours, but it's just... There's nothing like it, right? The atmosphere is sensational. And I reckon if you took... all of the people in attendance, all of the crowd members, I reckon probably 50% of them are not diehard runners. I reckon 50% of them are people who have come along with like their partners, or maybe people who have like just happened to walk past it with their kids, and their kids have wanted to go on a rock climbing wall, so they've wandered in and had a little look. Like, I think there's quite a lot of people who are there that wouldn't really know much about running, but are there because it's such an amazing spectacle.
Yeah.
Because like, the best thing about it is when it comes to the racing itself, there are absolutely no gimmicks. Like, the first race was won in, what, was it sub 32?
Yeah,
first?
I think so, 31 high.
40,
31 something, yeah. And the second one was 30-50 something, right?
Yeah.
The second race. So you're talking about like serious high-level domestic running, like even in those very early races. So it's not as if it's some different format off athletics, which is wacky and a bit crazy. It's like, this is diehard grassroots running in this country. But, you know, you've still got so many people there, so many people having such a good time. They've got so much entertainment for, like, say, kids and families, that it is just an amazing day out. I don't think I watched more than a few laps of actual racing just from running around all over the place, talking to people, like filming different bits and bobs. You could have an incredible day out there without knowing what's going on in the racing. And I think that's the biggest thing that's going to get people into the sport long term. Like, if you break down the barriers for entry and you give people a chance to just enjoy an event like that, so many of those people are now going to want to go to the next one, or if they see a track meet that pops up locally, they'll probably want to go along to it. You know, like there's it getting people hooked on the sport. I don't think there's a better event out there than the Night of the 10K.
Yeah, the annoying thing is, and this is a whole episode in itself, the annoying thing is if you're a kid now, or a parent who maybe is on the fringes of athletics, my assumption would be that that's what an athletics event is like. And I'd I'd see something like, oh, it's the UK Championships. Wow, UK Championships, that must be bigger than just that London race that I saw. Bet that's going to be so exciting. And then you turn up and you're like, oh, well, this is shit. You know, it's like, it goes back, reverts back to the traditional format. Everyone, you know, it's kind of like a bit grey and old, if you see what I mean. So I think, I'm not saying that, you know, that has to be at every event. And I think actually a lot of events are trying to emulate it and maybe not doing as well. Not everything needs to be fireworks and tunnels and stuff like that. But just the way that it's marketed and even your choice of announcer that you have and all that sort of thing really does contribute towards the night. So, yeah, I completely get what you're saying in terms of it expanding to a non-running audience. My question is just the same as they do with every Olympics, is like, what's the legacy of the event going to be outside of that? Does the 14-year-old kid have to wait until the next night of the 10Ks to see anything like that again? Or are we going to do something to fill the void and give him or her other bits of content to consume, other races that they can go to, races where they can participate themselves, other places where they can be an arm's reach from Paul Chelimo? Like, are we going to give those opportunities? You know, right now I'm struggling to see other events that are going to really do that unless you're going to go outside of England, you know?
Yeah, I'm really curious to see what happens with the rest of the on-track night series. Like the next one's 10th of June in Paris, and I can't remember all the other spots, but they're, you know, they're getting about, aren't they?
Well, you're going to find out in my YouTube video because I'm racing there.
Amazing. But you know what I mean? Like that, I wonder how much of whether Night of the 10Ks is just Night of the 10Ks. It's a standalone event and it can't really be replicated, or whether on can take that show on the road effectively and have a different but very similar vibe at all of the other on-track nights when it comes to crowd support and atmosphere and just, yeah, like, I don't know, like it's a cultural phenomenon in running, I think, that event. And I'd just bloody love to see it expand across.
Yeah, the only other thing as well, which I should probably caveat as well, I think part of why it's so special to people like us is because it's British people primarily racing. So we can be engaged with the D race, C race, B race, because we know either through content or personal relations or just heard of these people. So we engage with like the 31-minute race because we see people and we're interested who's going to win, or it's this club versus that club. If I went to say the French version of Night of the 10Ks, which is going to be, it's called Fast 5000. It's basically Night of the 5000 PBs, essentially branded differently. I'm wondering whether I will be as engaged with the earlier races if it's all domestic fields. Will I be able to engage with like a French race that's running 15 minutes for 5K? Maybe not as much. So I wonder how much that impacts your like enjoyment of the day. Like you guys had something to do from 3 p.m. onwards. Bang, bang, bang. There was always something there for you. You were always stimulated as such.
Mm. Yeah, definitely. I think you got a good point there. But yeah, then that's probably credit to the organisers again for making it such an interesting event, even for those sort of minor races. They're still put on like the live streams. They get the same sort of media coverage that the elite men's and women's race get. So you could literally follow along the story of those races as they unfolded because they're being filmed in such a professional manner. So I think if events look at how the Night of the 10,000s was put on, not only like on the ground, but from the like live stream standpoint, I think hopefully we can get a few more events that have that similar, like really engaging atmosphere, not only for like diehard track fans, but like we've been saying, for like families, for children aspiring to get into athletics. I think Night of 10,000s is incredible, but definitely we need more of it in the sport and in the next few years for sure.
Yeah, I was all I kept thinking when I was seeing all these kids running around is like, number one, I need to get back running and in shape to do it one of these years, and how much I think Summer, my 4-year-old daughter, would have an absolute blast.
Yeah, definitely. Like that.
she'd honestly, she'd be all over it. She'd
have so much to do, wasn't there?
Yeah, so much entertainment, so loud, like food, places you could just go for a quiet little stroll if you needed to, like down the heath.
Did they have a slush puppy machine?
They probably had a couple, I reckon. Yeah.
They had everything else under the sun.
They had everything.
That's decent.
But like great food, the attention to detail is exceptional as well. Like the branded Knight of the 10,000 meter PB beers, like just everything from top to bottom was spot on. And you know, it's easy when you're in an event like that to kind of cruise through it and have an amazing experience, but not necessarily think about all of the legwork that went into it. But when you think about all of the elements involved there, even just like we're talking about rock climbing walls and the food trucks and the stickers on the beer, someone's had to design the kind of the artwork and the stickers in the right dimensions to go on each of those beers and then print them. And then someone's got to contact a rock climbing place to bring it in there. And that's all got to be orchestrated logistically. All of the banners have got to go up. Like it's a massive monumental thing. The live stream, the BBC stuff, like the announcers and knowing when someone's going to be speaking and when the other commentators are going to take over. The fact that it runs back to back to back, no awkward breaks, no time where you're walking around thinking, fucking hell, what's going on here? When is it going to start again? Everything is seamless. And that is the most impressive thing for me, like 100%.
I think the question for a lot of people is how does it get better and where does it go from here? And I think my guess for next year is that the thing that will be incorporated is a concert afterwards.
Yeah.
So a bit like it, how in the On event in, was it in LA where they had some kind of American low-key rapper person who did like a live performance there and then. Mm. I definitely think, especially the way that On, like in the same way New Balance have artists signed to them. So like Jack Harlow only wears New Balance stuff, for example. I could see On getting some kind of deal or something like that. And then the culmination at the end of the A race to keep
Drake comes in a helicopter and just performs in the infield.
I was actually thinking Drake would probably enter the A race next year, probably pace it or something like that. maybe Jay-Z or something like that could maybe do the performance. But yeah, I think a concert could be good and extend that. You know, again, that's a whole host of extra problems. But in terms of thinking, what could make that even better?
Yeah.
Have the draw for the normal person as like, you come and watch 10,000 meter running, even if you don't like it, we're going to, trust me, don't worry, you're going to like it. And the reason you're going to stay is because you're going to see, you know, Miley Cyrus live afterwards or whoever it is.
Yeah, I think that's a good idea.
Here's a question. What happens? Like, because at some point, especially after this year, at some point, it's going to get too big for its own good. And you're not, like I say, you're not going to be able to get enough people into the venue who want to be there. At what point do you reckon they charge for tickets? Or do you think they ever will?
I think it'd be free and it'd just be like a first come, first serve or a ballot or that kind of thing. And then it'll just be a war because people like you lot will get like a reserve ticket for being media and people like me will be shut out onto the streets like the vermin we are.
It's interesting that they don't charge a single penny for entry into the event, especially like the infield area. It had so much entertainment, like you said, the climbing wall, all these different like performing artists, like people juggling, freestyle footballers, all this sort of stuff. Like that costs a lot of money and I'm surprised it doesn't cost anything to get into. So
I just think the benefit is it's risk-free. And when we're trying to engage people that are not runners, like you would pay a tenner to go because you know it's going to be good because you're in the circles. But if you're trying to get someone who is just, you know, seen the climbing wall or they've seen, oh, this is a thing that's happening in our local park, like the free element is, it makes it risk-free. You can stay for 5 minutes, 5 hours. It doesn't matter. You've not, you know, and I get why the money might help. If you get 2,000 people, tenner each, that's a lot of money you could put towards, you know, paying Drake or whoever you got to pay. But yeah, I think the free element is, it ties nicely with the grassroots and stuff. And I think Highgate would be keen to keep that.
Yeah, definitely. Lovely stuff, boys. I think we've covered that pretty well.
I know, that was a bloody marathon, that. I don't know if we're going to even have that much time to move on to Hackney Half.
No, I don't think we need to, really. Hackney Half was a great event. But, yeah.
No slush puppy machines, no lights, no pyrotechnics. No.
But saying that, for a low-key half marathon in London, like, they put on a bloody good job of like getting people together. I think it's got a really nice community vibe, Hackney Half. It's not necessarily the fastest course in the world, and it always happens to be on like a ridiculously hot day, just out of nowhere. that people then struggled to get round in any decent times. But yeah, again, me and Tom were down there watching and cheering people on, again, filming some content. Tom, you were doing a bit of stuff for Hoka. I was filming a YouTube video of my little sister. She ended up running a new PB, a second ever half marathon. So that was good. But yeah, Hackney Half has a really nice sort of community aspect, and they definitely do a lot of good stuff at that event. Like, obviously, it doesn't quite compare to the level of the Night of the 10,000s, but like, compare Hackney Half to your local half marathon, like, it's a completely different spectacle. So,
you know, you know, I'm just thinking, I'm just absolutely riffing here, but I think this could be pretty good. Organizers of events don't really do any podcasts or coverage. I know Ben, that organizes Night of the 10Ks, has done like, you know, select podcasts to like showcase what he's doing. But wouldn't it be great to sit down with like, it's free advertisement for them to like talk about their race. But I'd love to pick the brains of like, so what you got going on here? How are you doing this? Like, who's the sponsors of this? Who's providing that? Was it difficult to organize? Like, what's your focus? Is it inclusivity or is it a really fast course? Like, would you not think it'd be cool to like sit down with the people that organize these races, chat to them?
I think, yeah, definitely.
Maybe boring for like listeners, but I just love to know the answers, you know?
I think it would be interesting because Hackney is definitely like, you can just tell by the type of people that rock up to do it. Like, it's it's typical East London runner vibes. Obviously, you get, say, normal people, you get the everyday type runners as well, but there's so many people cutting about in outrageous outfits
and, yeah,
in their
own, it's definitely like an almost high fashion.
Yeah, it's about as close as it gets to like a half marathon fashion show.
Yeah, like Satisfy wearing vegans, that sort of thing.
There's plenty of vegan runners. Yeah,
yeah, in their
which
new
Tom
Meryl,
was shouting at every single one.
The new Meryl Crocs. Oh yeah. To be honest, like, last thing on Hackney, I woke up. I didn't wake up at 5:30 and run 2 hours on a treadmill like Ben. I woke up at about 6:30 and was in pieces, to be honest. I did not want to go to Hackney Half. I thought this is one day too many after the week that I've had. I'm not massively looking forward to traveling there. Not massively looking forward to like being surrounded by loads of noise again and so on and so forth. I was a bit grumpy, to be honest. But then as soon as we got there, as soon as we started seeing like the amount of people doing it, the sun was shining. And yeah, the atmosphere was just fantastic and ended up having a great day. I fell to pieces at about 4:00 in the afternoon and just basically fell asleep for the rest of the day. But the actual event itself is, like you say, Ben, I wouldn't go there to run fast, but I'll definitely want to go there just to, you know, like,
get involved,
revel in the atmosphere a little bit. Yeah.
Yeah, you know? Definitely.
Slap some signs and shake some hands and all that sort of good stuff.
Yeah.
And again, after the race, they put a like almost carnival type event on afterwards, a bit like the Night of the 10,000, where they've got all these food vendors on the Hackney Marshes and everyone sort of does the race. Like, it's kind of like a bit of a minor aspect of the day for a lot of people. Yes, they've completed a half marathon, they're really happy, but the main aspect is then getting together with your community, whether it's at the Pure Sport tent or the local running clubs all have their own little base. Everyone gets some food, has some drinks, and they just party for the rest of the day. And I think that's a really nice aspect to sort of the running side of community that we don't really talk too much about on the podcast, but definitely has a space in the sport for getting people into running and getting involved with their local run club. So yeah, I'm all for what the Hackney Half Marathon do. I think it's a great event and probably would be doing it next year more for just for a bit of fun rather than trying to run a fast time. But yeah, great event.
Class. Nice one. The other thing that I should have added to Night of the 10Ks, and this episode's getting a bit deep now, so we'll have to make an Instagram post. But thanks to everyone that sent in your photos of spotting Ben and Tom.
Oh, yeah.
Of them browsing, walking around. I won't go into detail now. We were going to do a little segment on it, but I will make an Instagram post featuring some of the images because they're great. And I think
little carousel. Yeah,
without it being kind of a stalkerish thing, I think this could become a bit of a, this could become a bit of a
It
thing,
is pretty funny. Some of the photos you could barely see us in. It was like literally a game of Where's Wally? And then you just zoom in and you just see Tom's face in the background just amongst the crowd. You're like, okay, yeah, Tom is in that one. But yeah, that was a great little game.
Yeah,
we'll give a shout out. Just quickly to one specific person, Matty. Matty, is it Carlton? Matty Carlton. Yeah. He definitely won the competition of sending the most amount of pictures of me and Ben and me and Ben together. Yeah, fair play to him. He was on some private investigator type level that night. I enjoyed that.
Shout out. Good stuff. Right, because we've promised it in the intro, we're going to have to do a couple of listener questions before we wrap this up. And we've actually got some really good ones this week. If we don't answer your question this week, then we're going to keep them on the show notes and we'll roll it over to the next episode because there's some really good ones. So the first one, there's one I really want to ask, but I don't know if we've got enough time. Okay, fuck it, I'll ask it. So Olivia Stones wrote in, who's a great runner in herself in the Liverpool area, and said, if each of you were a meal, what would you be and why? And she's requested a full breakdown.
Oh, God. That's one that you kind of need to prepare ahead of time, isn't it? If I were a meal.
If you're a meal, what would you be and why? Or the other option is we can describe what we think the other person, our fellow co-host, would be if they were a meal.
Yeah, I think we should do that because, Callum, you're a roast dinner, I reckon.
Roast dinner?
Yeah, definitely a roast dinner.
What meat?
With all the trimmings, I reckon.
There's a couple of meats on there, I reckon. You've got a lot.
But if I had to say one, I'd say roast beef, I think. Nice, thinly sliced. Yeah.
But be a roast dinner that maybe has gone a little bit cold at some points. Like you're eating and then you're like, oh no, this meat's gone a little bit cold.
Yeah, I can get behind that actually. If so, what kind of like Yorkshire pudding am I having? Is it like a homemade big old Whopper or is it a bit?
Yeah,
like
it's a massive one.
Is it a shitty little Aunt Bessie one?
Absolutely not. None of this roast dinner, I would just like to point out, she wanted details, so here you go, Olivia. None of this roast dinner is shop bought, right? This is potatoes grown
homegrown
in
stuff
garden. This is homemade Yorkshire puddings that's been a recipe that's passed down through generations. This is beef that someone's probably gone out and shot. It's like grass-fed type level, right? This is
a lot of graft's gone into that plate of food.
A very gourmet homemade roast dinner, because you don't do anything by half, Callum. I feel like you've got lots of different, you've got fingers in lots of different pies, right? You've got lots of different like areas of knowledge on certain things. And that's what a roast dinner is, right? It's like a plate full of lots of different things that come together to create a fantastically well-rounded package. And Callum, that's what you are to me, package.
That was
a lovely little compliment.
Tell you used to be a copywriter, mate. That was world class. That was like ChatGPT level. Thank you, mate. Roast beef would actually be one of my lowest choices, but everything else I absolutely love. So, that's outstanding. Thank you very much. I was actually just thinking as you were kind of giving me that little monologue about myself as a roast dinner. I was thinking about what Ben would be, and I was like, I can't work out. So with Ben, I've kind of got two things, right? And well, I was going to say don't ask me why, but the whole point is I explain why. So the two things I'm thinking of is either a really big, like hilariously big, like almost comically big, like jumbo size hot dog that you get at like an NFL game that's got like perfect lines of like ketchup and mustard and stuff like that. One where like when he's going to eat it, it's just going to splatter all over his face sort of thing. That's just because like it would be filling and like you'd get some like good stuff from the food, but you'd be like, that's just a random thing to eat. And it's just like a really just a bit random out there. Like of all the things you're going to eat is this jumbo, like massive kind of hot dog that you've got an NFL game or something like that. So I was thinking either that or some weird like Yo Sushi type meal that's like arrived on a conveyor belt and is very like it's very like chopsticky and kind of like, you know, a bit intricate and like actually has got like 4 calories in it, you know, that sort of thing.
Fair enough.
What one or the other, Ben? That's what I would describe you as.
What do you reckon, Tom? What do you think I'd be?
Yeah, I'd agree, to be honest. I think you'd be that, or you'd be some fairly weird, like a hipster type meal, like charcoal activated sourdough with avocado and like alfalfa sprouts sprinkled on top. Something like that.
Yeah, that
with
sounds
a wedge
good.
Of lime or something on the side.
Yeah. I can see that.
Wash it down with a glass of ginger kombucha. That's what I see you as.
Got to have a coffee there as well, mate.
Yeah.
What about Tom? Obviously, we've got to have a vegan dish.
Yeah, go on.
I'm not going to say you're a McPlant because that's just an insult. I reckon you'd be like a nice cauliflower, slightly spicy curry,
I
or
was
sort
that's
of all
so
in one job.
Ooh,
that's
okay.
so weird you say that. I was gonna say he'd be a curry, but like a very authentic one that comes in like
Yeah.
a nice like silver dish with a big like a big old naan bread or something like
Rice
that.
on the side, plenty of carbs, a few different sauces that you can try out as you eat
Yeah,
your meal.
and a couple of beers with it, but like you know, like rogue beers. I
Yeah,
yeah,
a
or
couple of
lagers.
red beers or something like that. IPAs.
Yeah,
Lovely.
decent. Well,
That's
there you go.
spot on. I think that's
Again,
spot on.
listeners, along with your Tina Turner tributes, I would ask you to write in and do tell us like if you think one of us would be a meal, or if you know someone who would be a specific meal for a reason, maybe a what a pro runner would be if they're a meal or something like that. Let us know, because I think there's some people out there that will have some much funnier and well thought out answers than us. So thanks for that question, Olivia. That was a nice little one to get to know the host there, I thought.
Yeah, that was good. Thanks for
One
that.
more question, boys, or are we good?
Yeah, go on.
Yeah,
One
go on, let's
more.
do one more.
Go on, we'll do one more that's actually going to offer some valuable advice then. I thought this one was good from Perry. So Perry's trying to follow the 80-20 rule. So 80% of your training easy, 20% hard. And at the moment, if he does 5 runs in a week, he does one of them as a session. So, you know, 1 in 5, 20%. So he's following the 80-20 rule. However, what his concern is even though one of the sessions is hard, if it's, say, only 5 times 1 kilometer, so he does 5K in volume, but he's running 60K in the week, then obviously that's way less than 20%. So what he's wondering is he doing too much running at an easy pace? So obviously we've joked about like Ben doing loads of sessions or not or whatever, but thinking from like a generic point of view, what would you recommend to him? If he's doing 60K a week, he's a pretty, you know, like he's doing a decent amount of volume as like a recreational runner. So what do you think? Should he up his sessions or stick it at one? What do you think?
Yeah, I think my advice would be, sounds like he's got a good little routine going there. And if he's been doing it for like months maybe and constantly hitting 60 kilometers a week with one session, it might be a good time to maybe introduce maybe a tempo in replacement of one of those easy runs or even a progression run, just so you've got another one of those runs where there's a little bit of intensity. I'm not saying do necessarily do a second session. If you want to stick to that sort of 80-20% rule, but maybe add in some strides at the end of an easy run or progressing through towards more half marathon pace at the end of, say, an easy 8K, 10K run that you would usually do in the week, just completely easy, I think would be a good way to introduce a little bit more intensity, but without risking like, because the risking too much like injury or something like that. Because the reason most people follow that 80-20% rule is to try and sort of stay injury free and progress their training gradually, I guess.
Yeah, you literally, that's exactly what I was going to say. Stick a steady run in there, you know, something that's not easy but not too hard. Like you say, you could do that as a progression, or it could just be steady out the door. And then maybe, yeah, strides after easy runs, and maybe every other long run, or maybe every 3 long runs, just push it down a little bit towards the end, a little bit more of a fast finish long run. Something like that, just to keep it exciting, just to keep it interesting. But
Yeah.
I guess the main question is if he's performing well, like if he's racing well, feeling fit, all the rest of it, then maybe what you've got going on at the moment is working nicely for you. But if you're asking a question, it probably means that you're looking for someone a little bit different, a bit of spice in your life in the
Yeah.
training department.
I guess the only other option that I could give you, just so you've got plenty to think about, is a lot of people are obsessed with doing like a Monday to Sunday. And I know we speak on this podcast that we do a weekly recap Monday to Sunday, but you could always look at your training as, say, 10 days, for example. So rather than doing, you know, at the moment you're doing every 2 in 10 sessions, you could maybe up it to every 3 in 10. So you have a week where you do one session, the next week you do two, and then you go back to one or something like that, just to kind of gradually increase it. But yeah, I genuinely agree with the boys. Like, look at your results and work out, you know, if you're not doing well because you don't run enough and you're kind of too weak, then yeah, you maybe need to start running more. If you've got no natural speed at all and you're like, oh, I feel really fit, but my legs won't move fast enough, you maybe need to look at, you know, adding in some more speed stuff. But yeah, great question. I thought that was very insightful, clearly from someone who's looked into their running and, you know, really cares about it, not a total novice, but still wanted a bit of help. So yeah, thanks, Perry. Great question.
Lovely stuff. Yeah, we've got plenty of other listeners' questions to get into, but like Callum said, we'll probably leave those for next week. But if you've got any other questions that you'd like to submit, then you can do so via the Run It Three Ways podcast@gmail.com or drop us a message on the Instagram. Usually Callum will get back to you over there. But yeah, what we got to look forward to next week, boys?
It's technically this week, isn't it? I don't think we said, but we're recording on a Wednesday evening, aren't we?
Yeah.
20 to 10. Christ, it's only bedtime.
It is getting on a bit.
Yeah, not much. We've got another bank holiday weekend, haven't we? So I'm having a bit more of a chilled week.
Yeah.
At work, working from home, Monday to Friday this week, which
Lovely.
Makes a nice change. And then, yeah, some bank holiday festivities, just picnics maybe. Little dip in the river.
Oh, I forgot. You'd probably actually be a picnic, I reckon, if you were a meal.
Oh, I love. Yeah, to be fair.
No, that's recency bias. That's
no,
recency
no, no,
bias.
No, no, no.
You wouldn't call him a picnic in the winter. Recency bias.
That's true.
I'm off to Stockholm on Friday for 10,
oh, yeah,
10, 11 days. So next episode will probably be recorded from a cupboard in Stockholm.
Nice.
What about you, Callum?
What are you doing, Ben? Holiday or what?
Yeah, so I'm going with Megs for 3 days for the bank holiday, and then I'm going to stay on for another 10 days as well, just to do a bit of training over there, switch it up a little bit. I'm going to do some sessions with Victor Schmangs, Mr. Double Threshold. I've got some friends from when I used to live out there, so I'll do some running with them. One of them is Adam. Ginger is running. We're going to do a bit of like a group run around the lovely Dew Gordon, which is probably one of my favourite places of all time to run. It's like a nature reserve in the very centre of Stockholm. So yeah, beautiful place to run if the weather's nice. But yeah, that'll be my week.
What can we expect? Is it a daily vlog situation? Is it a couple of videos? What anything going on?
No pressure on it really. I think I'm just going to have a little bit of a holiday. But there'll definitely be some videos. I might do try and break the Stockholm Park Run course record while I'm over there.
Nice.
Why not?
I'll give it a go.
Wild. Sweet.
And that's where I first got into running and first ever did park run. So, yeah, could be a nice little storyline there.
Yeah. Homage to the roots.
Exactly.
I'm racing in Manchester, not as exciting as Stockholm, but yeah, it's the Emsley Car Mile at the Manchester BMC Grand Prix on Saturday. So it's actually the most entered BMC of all time. Over 520 athletes entered. So
gonna be one hell of an event.
Pretty wild one, yeah. So yeah,
are we gonna get a YouTube video?
We should do. Yeah. I'm racing the
Mate,
mile.
I'm loving the YouTube stuff, by the way. It's so nice to be actually able to see your races. I know we talk about them every week, but getting the visual side of things as well has been really nice. So yeah, shout out to Charlie. Hope that continues.
Thanks, mate. Yeah, thanks for, you guys enjoy me because once I hit 10K subscribers, I'm out of here. I don't need this platform anymore. I'm my own man.
Fair enough.
But yeah, no. Thanks to all the listeners that have been commenting saying that you're from the podcast, much appreciated. I will be practicing my signature ready for the autographs when I see you.
Fantastic. Actually, I was gonna mention on Spotify, we're up to 460 reviews.
Wow,
which is pretty. When I look at across the board at other podcasts, I mean, Joe Rogan's got like nearly 700,000. So we won't compare ourselves to that just yet, but. You know, I think that's amazing. So thank you to all 460 of those people. 4.9.
And yeah. I'll say it because Tom clearly has alluded to it, but doesn't want to say it. Let's get to 500. That's the magic number. So if you haven't yet, then give us a rating. It doesn't matter even if you give us one star, to be honest. Just get 500. Just get 500 on the board.
Yeah. Well, if anyone's still listening, that pretty much wraps up episode, what was it, 23? Cool. We're doing well here, boys. Episode 23. But lovely talking with you both. And hopefully we'll get another episode in next week.
Yep. Shout out Fred Curley. Cheers, guys.
See you later.
See ya.